Happy anniversary, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Congratulations on a full year.
Woohoo!
No, I never thunk it would be like this.
Never thunk.
Yeah. Never thunk.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, isn't it? A whole year.
Did you realize it was a year? Because when you let me know it was a year, you seemed kind of surprised yourself.
Yeah, I was. I was just kind of looking over some things and thinking about stuff, and I went, hold on a second, and I kind of went through the catalog and realized, what was it, our first topics that we talked about was, should you go see the Harry Potter movie or read the Harry Potter books?
Huh.
And what was the other topic?
I still haven't made up my mind about that either.
No.
Me neither.
No.
I haven't gone.
I'm hoping it'll just go away. I put my head in the sand on so many issues, you know. And what was the other one? Tattoos. Is there anything wrong with tattoos or body piercings?
Really?
Especially on young teenagers.
We talked a bit about that last week, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, with the teenagers thing. Yeah.
Those darn teenagers.
Yeah, Gord's frightened to ever get married and have children after last week's show. You traumatized him, Drew. Way to bring the single guy on for all those topics. Yeah. Scare the guy.
And today we're talking about preparing for marriage.
Yeah, now he's really
another single guy. Today.
I know how to pick him.
I got to have more input into this show.
Yeah, you'll have lots more input into this show.
Yeah. So, Drew, are you nervous?
About
us interviewing you?
No.
Come on.
Am I supposed to be? I'm sitting in my own house in my office, kind of, I'm in my comfort zone here.
You're not practicing the ceremony?
What ceremony? Oh, yeah, I got a wedding later today.
What ceremony? You're so relaxed, Drew.
Yeah, I am. It's a very relaxed. It's supposed to be an outdoor wedding, believe it or not.
Uh-oh. That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have some contingency plans.
That's good. Yeah. So, Gord, you asked the first question.
Bring it.
So, tell us your story, Drew. How did you end up in radio? I know some of your background. I know quite a bit of your background, actually. I can remember when you were a teenager.
Okay, that's enough, Gord. Thank you.
When I also was a teenager. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
So, tell us about the beginnings of your journey and...
What, you mean the God journey or the radio journey?
Both the God journey and the radio journey. How did your God journey lead you to the radio journey?
Okay. Grew up in a fantastic family, and they took me to a United Church where I learned about religion. And then I grew up and became a bit of an idiot as a teenager. And they need... Okay, no little comments from you, Gord.
I could throw in some, too. I grew up in the United Church.
Stop. So they needed to get rid of me for a little bit because I was an idiot. So I went to boarding school, and then I went to summer camp, and they sent me to a place called Teen Ranch, where I realized that following Christ wasn't a religion. It was more of a relationship. And so during my time at Teen Ranch, I decided to surrender my life to the Lord. A guy named Chuck Ealy, quarterback with the Toronto Argonauts and Hamilton Tire Cats, was speaking that night, and I was also talking with a guy named John Allardyce.
Who was your counselor that week?
Oh, it must have been you. It must have been someone real spiritual.
It was me.
Yeah.
And I kind of avoided Drew that whole week. So.
Why? Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
I would have avoided me, too. I was just a bad kid. No, I was a attention-seeking idiot, basically.
But you were really funny, too.
I was. I was very funny. I was the only kid that showed up at camp with a three-ring binder filled with casket pictures.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Industry magazines.
Your family is part of the funeral industry, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Just for all those listeners who might be scared now.
Yeah, I was the first kid at camp to embalm a frog. It was fun. Anyway, I talked to these guys about the God stuff, and I knew a little bit about Jesus things and Charlton Heston and, Ten Commandments on TV and Easter shows, which I was always very moved by. So I was definitely in touch with the spiritual side of life, but I knew there must have been more. So anyway, I decided to surrender my life to the Lord. Then my life really fell apart. I don't have one of those, I used to be an axe murderer and now I'm Billy Graham stories. Mine went the other way because I refused to let go of my old life. I still played games. I was Mr. Joe Christian at Teen Ranch, hallelujah, la, 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 la. And then I'd go home and I'd be an idiot to my family and my mom would try to discipline me, and I hit her back, and my sister would intervene. I remember pushing her down a flight of stairs one time.
Oh, boy.
Oh dear.
I was just a jerk to my dad. I stole a lot of money and stole cars and, drove without licenses and did a whole bunch of dumb things. So.
And during this time, are you professing to be a Christian?
Yeah, how do you like that, huh?
So that's not a terribly good witness.
You think?
To your family. Or to anybody else, for that matter.
No. No, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So, anyway, boarding school, they said, hey, if you get good grades, then you can leave boarding school. So I went to Paul B. Smith Academy at People's Church, because that's where Christians go to school, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then I got into, like, Christian concerts and Larry Norman and Randy Stonehill, and my grades were in the toilet, and it was horrible. And my dad said, you know what? You're going to go back to boarding school. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not, because I hated it at boarding school. Hmm. And that night, it was Christmas Eve, I decided that I'd had enough of life, and I tried to kill myself. My mom discovered that I wasn't doing too well and ended up taking me to the hospital. Hmm. See, I was such a faker, she made me crawl to the car because she thought I was faking it.
Wow.
So that's how bad it was.
Boy who cried wolf kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Spent 2 weeks in hospital. Of course, they put you in the psych ward, and you know, because it's not a real healthy mental state when you try to take your own life.
Right.
And then one thing led to another. I dropped out of school again. I've been kicked out. Basically, I was asked not to come back to three different high schools.
And, quite the reputation.
Oh, it wasn't good. Then and eventually I ran away to California. Again, it was around Christmas. Matter of fact, it was Christmas morning. My mom came in. I had my suitcases packed. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to California. I was 17.
Wow.
And I needed to get away. I just needed to shake my reputation. I just couldn't get a break from anybody,
yeah.
And I really wanted to turn. Anyway, I ended up going down to Hume Lake Christian Camps in California, and they gave me the break I needed. So along with Teen Ranch Canada and Hume Lake Christian Camps in California, I've been involved with Christian camping for a number of years.
Right.
How's that for a long-winded answer?
Woo-hoo.
It's very good, though. Very interesting.
And how did you get to the radio?
Well, after being involved with Teen Ranch for a lot of years, we decided to make an investment in this thing called faith, because we've been going on and on about faith, but I didn't really know. Now, Mel Stevens, the director of Teen Ranch, you'll find out at 2 o'clock, his journey of faith was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, along with my wife, because she had to agree to this too, we decided to go to Australia with 9 bags of clothes, 2 kids, no job, no place to live, and test our God, sort of, not test, but sort of say, okay, God, our life is really in your hands. Let's go. What are we going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I ended up pastoring at a church, which I never thought was going to be a reality, because I'm just not that spiritual. I know you find that hard to believe. But I was offered a position at a church, and during my time of pastoring, I had learned from Mel Stevens a long time ago, one of the better forms of communication, instead of jug to mug, I have all the answers all poured out to all you little mugs,
mm-hmm.
was interview style.
Hmm.
And I started doing a lot of interview messages in Australia. And when I came back to Canada, I wanted to not do ministry, because I've been doing ministry for 20 years, and I wanted to see if I could do Jesus without a job description.
Right. Hmm.
But I still had to do something, and I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit or indigestion, the garlic I had the night before, but about 3 in the morning, I got this idea of maybe talk radio, you know, because I could do the interviews and chat, because I think the most interesting thing in life is
other
people's lives.
Yeah. Agreed, Drew.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. I did some research on radio stations and Christian radio stations, and I contacted the program director at Joy 1250, Don Miller, and I said, I'm thinking about this. I'd love to come down and see your studio. And he said, well, why don't you come down sometime? I said, well, why don't I come down tomorrow? Stuck my nose in there. We had a handshake. He said, well, let's give it a go. And that's how it started.
That's awesome.
And has it been what you expected? Has it been a great experience all along? Has it panned out the way you thought it would pan out for 1 year?
I'm not a hugely forward thinker, so I didn't have great dreams and aspirations of turning into, you know, the Howard Stern of Christian radio or anything.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. But yes. So in other words, I didn't really sit down and dream about what it could be. I sort of think of things and I want to do them. I'm an initiator. You know, let's try something. Let's go for it. Let's do it, and we'll just see where it goes.
Right.
So I'm not sure whether it turned into what I was thinking it might. I think it has just naturally evolved into what it is, and I'm very happy with what it is. I think it's just, I have so much fun. I look forward to every Saturday. Every Saturday. Like, that's a rare thing. I have the gift of pessimism, spiritual gift of pessimism. And I kind of...
I saw that gifting, and it's in the book of...
The book of Marshallonians. Yeah. So I kind of wear down from excitement things pretty quickly. I'm a pretty desensitized individual. This thing is just, I just love it. I love speaking with the people. I love hearing people's lives. I love interviewing people. I think it's been a lot of fun.
So, Drew, who's been your favorite person to interview?
Probably a three-way tie between Tony Campolo, Randy Stonehill, and Kathy Lee Gifford.
I knew you were going to say those three.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well, you'd say one of them.
Yeah.
We just had a riot with all three.
Yeah.
I mean, Stonehill and I were supposed to go for half an hour. We went for an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Kathy Lee Gifford, same thing. Half an hour we were supposed to go. We went for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Tony Campolo swore, so that made my interview great. It was fantastic.
Oh, man, I missed that.
I know.
It's online. You can listen to it now.
Yes. And where do you go for that? To listen
www.drewmarshall.ca.
You guys are good.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so no, those have been my three favorite, I think.
And could I be so bold as to ask your least favorite? Or is that rude?
No. my least favorite?
Yeah.
Probably someone just boring. I don't remember who was.
Please don't say co-hosting with Toshi.
I think it was co-hosting with Toshi, actually. It's pretty boring. I'm not real sure. I'd have to look at the list, but...
Nothing sticks out, eh?
Nothing really sticks out. Because,
well, that's good.
Or was there, like, a tough interview? Like, was there one that was, like, really challenging for you, or...?
No, well, I was just going to say, if it gets boring, I just get persnickety and in their face and sort of ask irritating questions, and then it becomes enjoyable, you know.
Yeah.
At least for you, perhaps.
Well, for me, and that's really what it's all about. It's just about me. So no, I'm not, like, I don't really give a rip about politics too much.
Yeah.
So I sometimes those ones are kind of mundane a little for me. I just, you know, like, whatever, you know, there's bigger things in life for, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
So no, it's been good.
Tell us a little bit about people in your life, if you don't mind, like your family, and how those people have impacted your life and maybe turned you in this direction.
In what, the direction of radio or the direction of a decent human being?
Well.
As I speak so highly of myself.
I was going to say,
just the direction you've taken as a Christian, which... I think means radio or whatever you've done along the way. I'm sure your wife has been a big part of your life.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we were going to go that direction. I'm a fairly up and down kind of a guy. I'm not exactly a consistent person. I'm more consistent as you get older because you're just closer to death, so you slow down. But my wife is are you there in the kitchen, Bev? Bev?
Bev,
yeah, I can talk about her now. She's here.
Oh,
let's talk about her. She really has been a consistent, stable rudder in my up and down wavy life.
Hmm.
And she, I mean, just a patient, because I just treated her like garbage the first few years of our marriage, and I'm still a male idiot many times, and she's just, you know, for some reason she's just stuck with me and refused to quit, and I think that's. It's pretty amazing in this day and age where 40% of Canadian marriages are in the toilet, you know.
40? Yeah. I thought it was higher than that.
No, it's 40 in Canada, 50 in the States.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. I've known Bev for a while as well. I can remember her back from early Teen Ranch staff days. And I hope this doesn't offend either of you guys, but I would have never have thought of you two as a couple.
No, no one did.
But
Matter of fact,
now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys just work... It just works.
Well, when we first started, even before we were dating, Betty Stevens, who I interviewed last week, she said to Bev one day, she said, hey, what do you think? Because we were both on single staff at Teen Ranch, and we were hanging around there 24/7, and Betty said, what do you think about Drew? I mean, she was talking to Bev and another girl. Would you guys ever consider going out with Drew? And they both just fell on the floor laughing. Like, there was just no possibility of this ever happening. And Bev says I drugged her. So, actually, I came back from California with a tan and a mustache, and, you know, she fell in love with me. But
I think I really think that God had his hand in that. I can't think of a better person to put up with you. No offense, Drew.
I know she's in the but she's right behind me coughing now.
She's amazing,
choking on her foot. Yeah, so, she's been amazing, and our kids. I mean, you know, we had Josh very earlier in our marriage, and that was a stress at the start. But Josh was a godsend. He's just, you know, he's just been a great kid for us.
He is an amazing kid, yes.
Oh, I mean, if he steps foot into school this year, grade 10, if he goes to class one day, he will have surpassed my high school education. He's almost read the entire Bible cover to cover.
Wow.
And he just turned 15.
That's awesome.
He's got, you know, girls that they love him. I was repulsive to girls. I was just like...
This is true.
Oh, right, Gord? True. I mean, think about it.
Oh, yeah. You were a hoot, though. You were all a constant source of entertainment. I must say that.
Yeah. I was like the Ralph Malph of teen rant.
So, yeah. Drew, what would you say is the... I hate saying it this way, but...
Hey,
the...
can I just interrupt for a second?
What? Sure.
I love talking about me.
See, we figured you would. Come on.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, what is the, you know, knowing where you're at, where I'm at in my life, what's the secret to marriage?
Choice.
That is so interesting.
Choice.
Yeah.
Choice.
You're going to have to expound on that.
Well,
yeah,
choosing. You know,
do.
If you believe in Harlequin romance love, you think that's going to hold your marriage
that's
together,
right.
Then you're just a moron. Right.
Thank you for confirming. I keep saying to people, somebody said that to me recently. He said, so, you know, why did you, because I've been a very non-committal person all my life.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, who...
That's because you were raised by hippie parents who named you Toshi.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And I'm not Japanese.
No.
Anyways, somebody said, you know, like, why are you sticking in this one? And I said, well, it really is a choice. It's a choice to commit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very true.
Yeah, well, you read that love chapter in 1 Corinthians, which didn't have anything to do with weddings, which I'm actually going to use today, but it didn't have anything to do with weddings. It had to do with, it was in between the gift scenario. Everyone was arguing about gifts and being all wound up about, and we still are today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the gift of tongues, maybe you're not a Christian. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah,
read
exactly.
1 Corinthians 13, and why is it in between 12 and 14, other than numerically it makes sense?
Yeah,
it's there because it was there to resolve the whole gift issue. But aside from that, you read the 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter, and then you look at your spouse and go, okay, I got to do all that? No way. You have to choose to do that. I mean, I wake up some mornings and look at my wife and, you know, her bad breath, and she's got crusty eyes things, and her hair's all messy and stuff. And she said, that's me. Sorry, we got that confused. You know, you choose. You really do.
Yeah.
And I have the choice of flirting with other females or having affairs or looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. Sure, I can choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at this woman who's put up with so much junk in my life. She's the mother of my children. She's choosing to love me when I'm an idiot. It's almost like my relationship with God.
Yeah.
God still chooses to love me when I ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's good. I've always thought that the definition of love is always misplaced. And if you ask people what is love, you'll get a whole bunch of different sort of answers. And most of them have something to do with emotion or feeling. And I think love is far better described as an action.
It is. It's a sacrificial act.
Right.
It really is, because you don't feel like doing it all the time. If you live your life just going on your feelings, you're going to be collecting welfare soon.
Yep.
You know, it's a tough go. You gotta make hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it up and move on.
Exactly. So, flipping to a different topic.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
What is where do you see the show going? Like, you said you're not a forward thinker, but you know, are you thinking beyond next week ever?
Oh yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I dream a bit, but I realize that I've still got to put food on the table, and dreaming doesn't do that. So.
Right.
I don't know. I'd love, you know what? Okay, here's a dream.
Okay.
I would love to go on RB, all right? CFRB, I've grown up listening to CFRB. My parents forced me to listen to it, and now I willingly do. I'm addicted to it. I love talk radio. It's fantastic. There's a couple of hosts I'm not real fond of, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this postmodern, new age world that we live in, that secular radio is ready for a spiritual talkback program. And I don't see anything in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. I think I can handle it because I don't think I'm particularly super spiritual guy, you know,
right.
Overly religious. And I would love to have a conversation with Donny Osmond about why Mormonism.
Yeah.
I would love to chat with Tom Cruise about why Scientology.
Right.
As well as Kathy Lee Gifford about why Christ.
Yeah.
Or the Everyone Loves Raymond wife, what's her name, Patricia?
Heaton,
yeah. I mean, you know, those would be great interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And just chatting with people about the spiritual realm. I think it's a fascinating way to go, and I'd love to do that on RB.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
So.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I'd certainly listen.
So would I.
Yeah, it would be fun. And, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm quite like the Don Cherry of Christian radio, where I mean, but you know, like I'm not a candy coated buff and fluff kind of a guy.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I can see them expecting some Mr. Rogers character to come in and host the show and be all gentle and soft with everybody.
And that you're not.
Well, not usually, no.
Yeah, that's true.
But maybe I'll get a 7-second delay like Don Cherry.
I think you'd need more like 14.
I know.
What's your biggest challenge as an interviewer? Like, what do you find challenging?
People, well, from a interviewing somebody, it's just when they're boring.
Yeah.
You know, they're just
like, well, you are right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm feeling challenged.
I know. You're challenged more than me. Anyway, no, but from the guest point, from callers.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes it's frustrating when they don't think through what they're saying and they waffle.
Yeah.
Or they think it's the let's say their name is Susie. It's the Susie show for the next half hour.
That's right.
And I'm going to say whatever I want. It's going to be a monologue. I like dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not monologue.
Yeah. That's what talk radio is about.
Well, yeah.
Having a dialogue.
Yeah, and it's hard to say to somebody, especially when they're maybe a little older, maybe they're just not socially unaware. It's hard to say to someone. Gordon and I think we were all three of us were joking early in the show when we were renaming the show.
Yeah.
We're going to call it To the Point, and then I could say to people, "Hey, what's the name of the show? Get to it."
That's good, Drew. I really hope I've never been one of those callers.
No. But we all waffle, you know.
Well,
I mean, I do it too. So
yeah,
I'm pretty good at it.
No, we have fun. You know, three of us have fun, and Andy, yeah. You know, there's the four of us. We'll take this puppy somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, absolutely.
Let me ask you about people who inspire you. You've mentioned frequently on the show about Mike Iaconelli and his book.
Yep.
Messy spirituality. Mm-hmm. Maybe touch on that a little bit, and others that you've come across, whether it be writers or people you've met, maybe ordinary people that none of us would know.
Christian iconoclasts are people that inspire me. In other words, people that are not cut of the same mold and refuse to play with the status quo.
Hmm.
And they're not doing it just for the sake of look at me. There's a lot of people that are wannabe iconoclasts.
Mm-hmm.
They... I'm sorry, I was just about to say one of their names and then talk to my lawyer next week. But you know what I mean? I just have this vision of this one person who just says stuff just to get under people's skin for the sake of it and to turn more attention to that person, you know, to themselves. That's not my point. It's a very rare thing. Like Tony Campolo does it very well. He's able to analyze and not ridicule and not put down, but give the church a smack upside the head,
mm-hmm.
and yet still do it for the glory of the kingdom,
right?
As opposed to the glory of Tony Campolo.
He does it with love.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we speak the truth, but we forget the rest of that verse. Speak the truth in love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, non-judgmental to bring in last week's reference.
John
Kuiper.
Yeah.
Right.
So guys like Tony Campolo, guys like Mike Iaconelli, people that aren't afraid. See, my biggest things I love the most in people are when they're teachable,
mm-hmm.
when they can be vulnerable, and mm-hmm. when they can be transparent or genuine or real.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest qualities right there. When you can say, yes, I've been pastoring for 25 years and I still have a problem with lust. Hmm. Well, thanks for telling us, because mm-hmm. the rest of us guys sitting down here still have a problem with lust too, and we thought you may have been some holy roller that never, you know, could understand us. But now we get it, that you get it.
Yeah.
So, Tony Campolo, Mike Iaconelli, Larry Norman. I've always admired his lyrics. He brought me through a tough time when I was going through my suicide attempt and at that time of my life. Mel Stevens, of course.
Yep.
Reverend Don Fitchett, who I'm going to he's going to help me with this marriage as well, because I'm illegally marrying people in Canada. So,
He's been on the show a couple times, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask the pastor.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know. Other people, I can't remember who they are now. But
us. We inspire you.
Well, yeah, because you're real. You're real. There's no facades.
Yeah.
I think we need to pull down the pretenses.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
There you go. That's a new bumper sticker for the Drew Marshall Show.
Pull down the pretense.
Pull down the pretenses.
Just pull down your pretense, will you? Hey, you guys have got some good questions.
Thanks. My next question was going to be, how do you really feel about others hosting your show? Like, serious, do you get any nervousness or anything? Like, oh my gosh, what if they don't show up? Or?
I think sometimes I'm a bit of a control
freak.
Because
it's a privilege, Drew. It really is. Like,
well, good.
I get that.
Well, I wouldn't ask. I wouldn't ask people I wouldn't feel comfortable with. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are what I said earlier. I think both of you are teachable, and you're willing to be vulnerable and talk about real issues. And
you really don't know me, do you?
Oh, stop! Stop it. No, but you know, I don't want a polished, perfect little cozy show.
Yeah, that's not your show.
Because that's not me.
That's not your style. Definitely.
No, I mean, as soon as I'm done the ceremony, my tie's coming off, man. You know, putting on my Hawaii shorts.
Woohoo!
You don't want to see my legs, though.
Mine either. I had an injury last night. I'm all bruised and battered. And
oh, are you?
Yeah, I fell down on the boat. It was awful.
Hey, Toshi?
Yeah.
It's about me right now, okay?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, come on. I don't care about your stinking knee.
Well, getting back to you then.
Thanks. You're such a good friend, Drew. Back to you then. Gord, do you have a question for our guest?
I do. Let's put it back to being about Drew.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you hope to accomplish through the show in the lives of your listeners and anyone else?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I hope I've got to choose my words carefully here. Because I had a reporter call me from some Christian publication, and he asked me the same kind of question, and I just let loose. Thankfully, he edited the thing. There are some people who walk around in Christendom with a holy hand grenade up their backside, and I like to pull the pin. and I don't mean that I'm a spiritual elitist by any means. It's the opposite. I think at the foot of the cross, it's a level playing ground, and I think we all need to realize, as you know, my favorite quote from Mike Iaconelli. Messy spirituality is the Christianity most of us live, but few of us admit.
Mm. Right.
So breath mint tie, suit and tie, Sunday morning scenarios don't go down well with me. But if I can, you know, and to be honest, there's things that are inappropriate to talk about from the pulpit because of the wide variety of people that are sitting there and
sure.
You know,
right.
They choose to be, I don't know, whatever. But on radio, you can turn it off and go to another station if you like.
Yeah.
You know? I guess you could leave the church too, but I guess it's a safer forum to chat about issues that I think Christians need to be chatting about.
Mm-hmm.
It's driven me nuts for years that we avoid issues because culturally they're awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If something mm-hmm. has the title awkward over it, that's like a red flag for me. Let's go for it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I want to help Christians lighten up. I want to help Christians not take themselves so seriously. I want to help Christians realize the grace of God. I think that's hugely important. And I want it to be a show that's safe enough for those who are followers of Christ to invite their not-yet-Christian friends to listen
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's enough... Now, here's something that'll get me fired. I think there's enough Bible-wrapped and American flag programs that are being sold to the Canadian market, and I'm tired of them.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and the Christianity for, I think, most of us up here in Canada, at least in the Toronto area, which is where I live and breathe, is quite different from the Christianity you find down in most of the U.S., I believe.
Mm-hmm. It's more institutional down there. It's mm-hmm. more it's more of a culturalized phenomena. And here I think, you know what, I talk to so many people who are so disenfranchised and so disillusioned with the church that they're not going to church. They're following their creator. They're following Christ
mm-hmm.
in a very new way. Now they still need to fellowship. I'm encouraging everybody to still fellowship, and
mm-hmm.
and if you can find a church that you can be patient enough with and make the change yourself instead of sitting back and whinging about it,
right?
Then great, fantastic. Because the body of Christ is still God's ordained, you know, instrument of righteousness or mm-hmm. you know, doing stuff. We're the hands and feet of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an underground movement of people who are frustrated with organized churchianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that one.
Yeah.
Drew, you definitely are, like, I would call it a breath of fresh air. I think that's why I started listening in the first place, because I was like, wow, this is different. You know, this isn't your typical Christian
Okay,
radio
but why?
Schlep.
People say that all the time. Matter of fact, I say that in my new commercial. Why listen to me? Because I'm different. But what makes it different? People say that, but I don't understand. Like, I'm just being me.
You'll ask the challenging questions that might make some people go, ooh, you know, sort of like take your breath away.
But aside from on the radio, in normal conversations around the pub or over the restaurant or in your home, do you not ask those same questions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's great, because you're bringing it to the public forum.
And I think
ask those questions. I don't know if other people do.
You just said it a minute ago, Drew. You're just being yourself. And I know you. I've known you for a very long time. And I'll say to everybody that's listening, on this show, Drew is being exactly himself.
Yeah.
He is no different in real life, and for that you deserve a lot of congratulations, because you are being yourself. You're being open and transparent and teachable and whatever the other one was.
Well, Gord, I'll thank you for that, and I appreciate that. That's the biggest compliment you could give me, is that I'm not a different person when the mic goes on.
Yeah, right.
That stuff drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
But if you ever notice that slipping into my program, where all of a sudden the mic comes on and it's, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Drew Marshall Show.
With a big echo behind it, Drew Marshall Show.
Exactly, overproduced nonsense. Then you're more than welcome to follow me and just put a bullet in my behind or something, okay?
Yes, I will happily do that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
Don't go changing.
Okay, a little Billy Joel solo from Toshi.
Yes. Nice.
Nice. Well, what else you got? Is that it? Did I handle it okay?
I've asked all my questions.
What do you got, Gord? You got nothing?
I got nothing. Yeah. I'm
he didn't even have any notes, Drew.
Yeah,
he's like flying by the seat of his pants.
Flying by the seat of my pants. That's the way I've lived my entire life, and that's why I'm still single.
You have a lovely seat, Gord. for those who are listening. Well, that's good. Well, listen, folks, I want to thank Gordon Toshi for stepping in, and Andy, I know that you're part of the whole crew as well. There's sort of the insiders group here, and we work for this together, and you folks need to know that Gord has been the technical mastermind behind the internet, helping me with recording stuff.
Yes, he is
an absolute Guinness. Yes.
Yay, Gordo.
Are you saying I'm a pint of beer?
Yeah, a pint of beer.
He's a Guinness.
Hey, that's a good pint of beer, though.
Yes, yes.
It's a meal.
Also, Noelle deserves it.
Yeah, Noelle, basically, she was the creative genius behind the website at the start. Mm-hmm. Gord is the technical genius, and Andy as well. Andy provided the laptop for us. I don't know whether I should have said that or not, Andy, but anyway, it's just all come together quite amazingly, and we're having a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've got some good interviews coming up, hopefully. We're looking to book...
I'm still waiting for that. Those two, Larry Norman and Bruce Coburn.
Yeah, me too.
Said they would, and
I know
those two. Yeah. I really
How long has
want
that
to
been
hear.
On the website for?
Yeah,
coming
like forever.
Soon.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at booking Renee Russo, the actress.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
We're looking at booking Jane Fonda. What's the boxer's name? George Foreman.
Excellent.
Yeah. So there's some interesting lives there, and I love the 11 o'clock testimony where we can talk to just normal people about normal stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, today we had John. He did a great job.
No, I said normal people about. Come on.
Let
John's,
me listen
John's
in.
Smiling
John is
now, and he's putting his face.
Right now,
he's putting his fist up in the air like he's going to pop you one, Drew.
He's on the other side of the glass, so I'm real brave.
No, we're in the same room today.
All right.
We had some technical difficulties with the small booth, so
all right.
We moved into the main room.
Just don't sit back in those nice, squeaky, high-class quality chairs we have in the studio there. So folks, if you want to send CFRB an email and tell them they need to hire me, then that would be great. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
But I'd still love to do this on Joy 1250, because I think the Christian audience, I don't know, I think they could use something maybe a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's me. And folks, you can pray that God just keeps me humble and I'm not turned into some arrogant jerk. And just keeps me very real and on my knees, probably, you know, relying on him as opposed to running ahead going, okay, God, come on, God, catch up. So that would be a good prayer thing for everybody. All right?
Well, thank you very much, Drew. And again, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks, guys.
That's awesome.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Drew. You've been listening to an interview with Drew Marshall.
On the Drew Marshall Show.
That's right. And my name's Toshi. This is Gord.
We want to hear from you now. We want to talk to you about this show and find out how you not just what you like, but what you'd like to see happening on the show. And don't hold your punches. If there's something you don't like about the show, tell us about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a annual review. And Drew's raise will be based on the results of this talkback segment.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. The review comes from the listeners. So we want to hear from you. The lines are open, 905-338-1250. That is the phone number, right? Yeah. I just had this sudden brain lapse of, is that the number?
Yeah. See, Drew's always got that in control, right?
And 905.
We don't think about those things.
338-1250. And please call us and let us know what you think about the Drew Marshall Show. We've obviously, Gord and I have been listeners for a while, and we want to know what you guys think about it. You know, think back to some of your favorite interviews that you've heard Drew do. You know, maybe some favorite moments, and tell us what you like about the show. I think Drew is very upfront, as we were just talking about. He's very real and very honest, and so we would love it if you were really real and honest as well about maybe what you don't like, you know, what bugs you about the show, or what would you like to see change? What would you like to see in the future?
Yeah, and we've had some interesting callers. I obviously don't get the opportunity to listen to every single show every Saturday, but some interesting callers have phoned in. I can remember one lady phoning in, and pretty much the first thing she said was, "I hate your show." So that's the kind of feedback we're looking for.
Yeah.
Honest feedback.
Yeah.
The interesting was she was actually listening to the show, so she hates it, but she listens, which I guess is better than not listening.
Yeah. In Drew's books, yes.
And I think we have our caller. First caller.
All right, first caller. Go ahead. What's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar.
That's Sugar.
That's my nickname.
Wow. That's your what kind of name?
It's a nickname.
Nickname.
That's what anyone calls me.
Do you have like a really unfortunate first name or something, and that's why?
No. That's, you know, like our youth group, we go by nicknames. My friends, so that's Sugar is my nickname.
Is your last name Bear?
No.
That's a good thing.
That's a very that's good very thing. Good thing.
So, Sugar, how long have you been listening?
I've been listening to the Drew Marshall Show since it came.
Wow.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Yeah, a year ago, basically, when
very
it
good.
Came. But I have I wasn't consistent at first. Before, because I don't know, it was something new getting used to.
Yeah.
And, like, most of the time, he made me very angry, so I'll just turn off the radio, because things he said would be like, oh, I'm, like, surprised. But I called him a couple of times, because he had, like, really good points. Like, he made me want to discuss something, as opposed to, like, sitting down, and no one wants to talk about anything these days, like, to push everything under the table.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But he brings it out, which is, like, interesting, and I agree with some of the points. Like, he makes some absurd points, mm-hmm. but I agree with it. That's what I like. It
makes you think.
It makes me think, and actually, I'm more of an argumentative person. I like to argue. I like to discuss, so that's what I like about Drew. He likes to discuss, too, and, like, get on your nerves by arguing. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Yeah, it makes you think.
What have you learned?
Well, through the show, I learned that there's a lot of different opinions out there for Christians. Like,
isn't there, yes.
Yeah, because people think that Christians are thinking the same thing, but mm-hmm. a lot of times we're thinking different things. Like, mm-hmm. like you're going to get offended if someone's not thinking the same thing as you. Like, oh, they're not a Christian or anything. But it's interesting to see that a lot of Christians out there have different opinions of something.
God did make us as individuals,
yeah,
didn't he?
He makes
we have to
us
remember
an individual.
That.
We can't just all be the same, I know.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that was interesting for me. That's why I learned.
I think that's what helps us love each other's, our differences.
Yeah. It makes us love each other. That's who we are.
Yeah. That's cool. So what would you hope to see or hear happen in the future? Like, do you have, like, a guest you'd love to hear on the show? Or?
I don't know. I'm not too familiar with, like, you know, anything out there. And Drew's the one who gives me, like, connection to the world. I wasn't as open.
So you don't get out much? Are you a hermit?
I get out much, but...
You said you have a youth group.
Yeah,
does it meet at your house? Sorry.
No,
I'm kidding, Sugar.
You know how people usually keep to themselves? Like, Christians like to create a wall around themselves
right.
instead of getting out.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah.
What Drew does is he introduces you to, like, people, like, in the world by his interviews. So I don't know what I want to hear on the show.
Just more of it.
Yeah, more of it would be good. It's funny sometimes, too. So. Yeah.
How old are you? I'm curious.
I'm 18.
Great.
Well, that's great. Thanks for calling. We appreciate your call, Sugar.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I really liked the interview with Randy Stonehill. I remember listening
to that.
And thinking that was just probably the best best interview of a, you know, Christian rock person that I'd ever heard. It was so natural, down to earth. That was probably my favorite. Let's take another call.
Hey, who's this?
This is Corbett Van Dam calling.
Corbett, thanks for calling. You're a regular caller.
Yes, you are.
Always hear you calling nearly every Saturday, and that's great.
Yeah, I really enjoy the show. The thing I like about it, I guess, is he seems, Drew seems to be natural, spontaneous, mm-hmm. and, you know, doesn't mind going around the edges, you know, to, you know, getting information and doing a great interview, whatever. So
Yeah.
I don't know if there's other shows like that, but I just find myself compelled to listen. I just can't help myself. I just want to listen to the show. And every chance I get, I do. And the ones I miss, I get on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same with you. There is something compelling about the show. Yep. As the slogan says, I think it's Canada's only Christian radio talkback program. So
yeah.
That's unique to a large extent. And there is something about it. I'm not really a talk radio fan, personally.
Yeah.
But I do like listening to this show and calling in and even co-hosting occasionally. So,
I know Drew wants his aspirations to get on CFRB, but I don't like a lot of the stuff that they do. I mean, to me, it's... I think
that's partly why he wants to get on there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
to change things up.
To make a difference.
It's kind of antagonistic, a lot of talk radio, isn't it? And that's what I don't like about it.
I find a lot of that stuff is... I think they deliberately try to create controversy or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. To me, it's just... I can only take so much of that, and then I just... That's enough of this. It's another show that's just like any other show. It's, there's not really that much difference.
It was a controversial topic that is actually important, like people's spirituality, is that something you would listen in on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like sensationalism. That's the word I was trying to get.
Right.
You
know? Okay.
I hear you.
But to get down into people's lives, and especially their spiritual lives, and all the problems like society's dealing with, and trying to get the spiritual aspects of it, like the Christian aspects of it, I think is probably needed more than what we're getting right now.
Yeah, yeah. So is there anything that you'd like to see in the future or hear? I keep saying see, but, we're radio.
Well, the show, I I've only been listening for the last few months, maybe 5-6 months, so.
Right.
And I wish there was a way for me to actually listen to the earlier programs, because I don't think I can access them on the web. I've tried.
We only have a certain amount of hard drive space for our website, according to what basically the amount of money we pay each month for that website,
right,
which comes out of Drew's pocket, quite frankly.
Wow.
So we do take down shows that he tries to keep up. He obviously puts the last week up, and based on statistics for how much each show is listened to, he can track that. He'll keep a show up and keep it going for as long as it's being listened to. So older shows obviously need to be deleted. There's only, five or six of the last shows maybe on there. It's unfortunate. It would be wonderful to have every single show. Mm-hmm. Now, we only started recording it only a few months ago as well. So prior to that, Drew probably has copies of it somewhere, but not easily accessible to actually put on the internet. So, but in the future, who knows? Maybe we'll get a bigger website and be able to store more stuff, or put it in a database somewhere, and people can order it. Drew and I have talked a lot about the technical side of that, the website side of things, and we've been over a lot of those things, having people be able to order shows if they like it, and if the Lord leads, quite frankly, or people ask for that kind of stuff, it probably will happen. So if you're listening and you're interested in that kind of stuff, send Drew a message.
Yep.
Send him a message through the website, www.drewmarshall.ca, and let him know you're interested in listening to older shows. All the shows are listed. There is an entire list of all the shows, but they're not all of them are online to listen to.
I especially like the one show where Drew had the, I think it was People's Addiction.
Oh.
Yes, that was a good show. I remember that one.
That was so awesome. And there was one woman that actually Drew prayed for, and she never actually did call back, I don't think, as far as I know.
That's the woman who was addicted to heroin, I believe?
Yes.
Yes, I remember
that. And, oh, man, I mean, I was so...
It was very moving.
It was, it was just definitely, it was just awesome to be part of that, feel for her and pray for her. It was just incredible. I had goosebumps. It was just incredible.
Yeah. Thanks again, Corbett.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I just remembered one other moment when he was talking about that. It was, I think even just like a month ago, Drew interviewed a guy from, I think he's from Florida, who's quadriplegic or paraplegic.
Yes, right. And I can't remember his name. Yep.
Yeah, and Drew got really real with him and asked him about his sex life. And I was so glad because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah. I'd, like, you know, the guy's been married for a long time and
where
all of a sudden can't use his parts.
Program,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I was so, you know, I meant to tell him that. That was one of my favorite moments because that is an example
it's
of Drew's realness. Yeah, definitely a great question.